I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, what's happening? Tinky and Tierney coming to you from the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get mortgage. It's a Wednesday. Round and round we go. Groundhog Day here on the show. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Hopefully everybody's hanging on and hanging in and putting their best foot forward. You know, Tiki, we wake up every day and we are absolutely bombarded with news from every direction. And we look at the numbers, and we look at targets, and we listen to the medical experts, and that pertains to real life. That's the stuff that really matters. From a sporting point of view, as we, you know, desperately search for like a little flicker of light in the dark ocean, which is where we all reside right now, and we're all desperately trying to get back to, eventually, our sporting normalcy, because that obviously means we get back to our normalcy. And in searching for those tangible clues, something that allows us to target a specific date to leave the caves of uncertainty, we are not given a positive. I think we received today, I'm not going to say a death blow, but something that, anything that resembled a bridge to normalcy, I think this was a very strong reminder that we are nowhere near that bridge even being more than 5 or 10% complete. Wimbledon outright canceled.
Yeah, this one was a little bit surprising because it's almost 3 months away. Not quite 3 months, but just under 3 months away. And it feels like, man, if we're still worried about this in 3 months and it's preventing us from going about our everyday lives, going to the grocery store or going to work, quite frankly, or school, even though most of them will probably be in summer vacation, or going to sporting events, something has gone wrong or this thing was much greater than we anticipated it being. And with Wimbledon being canceled, it throws a wrench in your mindset going forward, because Wimbledon is in June, end of June, in July. If we're worried about this in July, then so many other things aren't happening, meaning Major League Baseball is way pushed back, if happening at all. The NBA is not happening at all. And the NFL likely is delayed, even though they haven't decided that they want to delay anything yet, including the NFL draft. But likely the NFL gets delayed if we're pushed back into July, because draft, OTAs, off-season workouts, obviously training camp, you really get tight to the schedule that the NFL is trying to keep.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's now arrogance, just belligerence, just, you know, unfounded optimism, hoping that this will, you know, end, that this will be eradicated. But the NFL right now, and obviously it's about Wimbledon to start. First time, boy, how many times have we referenced World War II in the past 2 or 3 weeks on the show? I mean, it's a constant line of delineation to the last time something was postponed, the last time something was canceled. I mean, every day there's a wave of something. But for Wimbledon to do this now, to be fair, all right, because I'm not trying to come across as overly negative. I'm just trying to be a realist here, and I perceive this to be very dark news for what we hope is going to be a quick return to normalcy, which I don't think is happening, man. I think we're in this for a long, long time. I don't mean years, clearly, but months, plural. And logistically, there's some issues with Wimbledon, whether it's the daylight issue. You know, maybe they could have pushed this back and postpone it and reschedule rather than flat out cancel it. But now you start to look at, okay, but by extension of that, if Wimbledon took these precautions, well, we have four games in London next year. Two by the Jaguars. I think Miami's got one. And I think the Falcons are the other home team. But there's definitely four. Then there's a game in Mexico. So we're talking about five international games across the spectrum of the NFL. And Wimbledon is canceling. The U.S. Open at Wingfoot, not happening. I mean, nothing is happening. And here we are, these glowing reports from the NFL. We're good. Just plowing along, 16 days, free agency, wrapping up. We'll do the draft digitally. We are good. No, you're not.
Well,
no, you're not.
I think in the short term, they are good. And they're deferring the decision on pushing back training camp, the start of the regular season, obviously all these international games and the logistics that come along with it. I feel like they're pushing that back down the road. And right now, the only thing that they're focused on is the NFL draft. Now, I know some people are shaming them for continuing to carry forth with the draft. And we talked about it last week, BT, and how difficult it will be for some of these organizations to draft correctly. Now, at the end of the day, you could be perfectly prepared and still draft incorrectly. So I don't feel any sympathy for some of these teams that are, I'll put it in quotes, unprepared for April 23rd. But with that being said, April 23rd can by and large be done remotely, like completely remotely. In fact, you're hearing news that Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, is going to conduct the draft from his Brownsville, New York home. So just north of New York City is where he'll be during the NFL draft, and all of the other draft rooms will be at various places around the country. Obviously not at their facility, because the facilities have been mandated closed at least until early April by the NFL. So, you know, I think that the NFL is prudently not talking about the season, because they don't have to cancel it yet. Mm-hmm. But they're going to get to a point, and it's likely, as we're now finding out with Wimbledon, at that 3-month point when you have to make this decision. Let's not forget, this was the same timeline that the Tokyo Olympics used in order to cancel, or I should say postpone, their Olympics until a year from the original start date. And so let's look into like early June when the NFL starts thinking about, you know, maybe we should start making contingency plans or pushing back or just outright canceling the early part of our season. So there's still time for the NFL. I know people want to get on them because they're basically operating business as usual. And I don't fault them for that. It's an entertainment property. We're being entertained by free agency and all the speculation about where guys are going and, you know, new quarterbacks and new places, and what the heck is up with Jadeveon Clowney and Cam Newton and Jameis Winston. It's entertaining. It's something to talk about. So I don't fault them for providing the entertainment right now, but I do give them a pass about not canceling the season, because they still have a couple of months, at least relative to how the other leagues have looked at their seasons and their, you know, drop dead date.
Well, that goes without saying. I'm not getting on the air suggesting the NFL should come out with a memo, we're canceling the season. No, clearly not. What I worry about here, and by the way, pertaining to the draft, me more so than you initially, I was, and I'm still behind them for doing this. No problem with that. The logistics of pushing it back are impractical, because if it's continued, we've gone over this. I have no problem with the draft going on and free agency, things that can be done by Skype and Zoom and text messages and other exchanges digitally. No, that's fine. You used the word prudent before. You said it's prudent for the NFL not to cancel. Of course, I agree, but it would be imprudent. And here's what I'm starting to worry about. It would be imprudent not to have Plan B and Plan C in place. And to me, their arrogance or their naivete, however you want to frame it, might be blurring and distorting the reality of the necessity of a possible Plan B and Plan C. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, and we don't know if they have a Plan B or a Plan C. We haven't heard anything leak about a plan B or a plan C, and you would think that we would with all of the information.
The NBA, we've heard all their leaks. The MLB, sure.
Yeah, and they're not even leaks. They're just like let's talk this out. Let's put this out in the public sphere to see if this is tenable, if this makes any sense to anybody. And if you have an objection one way or another, let us know. Not that they're actually doing that, but that's why you see things, you know, leaked, so that you can have public discussion around. The NFL, though, has always been kept things close to their vest, and they've always been, you know, kind of introverted when it comes to bigger plans. I mean, hell, we didn't realize that the CBA between the NFLPA and the NFL owners was basically done until we get this memo that the owners are convening a meeting in New York on a Friday. This was like Wednesday that we found out. Like, what? What are you talking about? I know you've been talking about this, but it's done already? And so they've been consistent in that regard, keeping things close to the vest. So that doesn't mean that they're not working on contingency plans, but they have to be working on contingency plans, because this is, as you alluded to, and I agree with you, BT, this is not going to go away quickly. It's not just like all of a sudden everything's going to be okay, or an antiviral medication is not going to miraculously come out, or anything you can be inoculated for. It's just not going to happen. And in fact, you start to see more reports that, you know, 35 to 50% of cases are not asymptomatic. So you don't even know if you have it, mm-hmm. and you're still passing it on. So this thing could get a lot more complicated really quickly and escalate really quickly, as we started to see in some of the hot spots around the country.
Well, speaking of one of the hot spots, you and I are in the middle of it, living in New Jersey. And I reached out to one of my good friends I've referenced a few times on the show. Great sports fan, but he's a surgeon. And, you know, I wrote him the other day and I said, all right, man, seriously, level with me. What are you seeing? Here's what he writes back. And he's not one for hyperbole. He's not one for embellishment. And most doctors aren't. I mean, most doctors are, all doctors are factually based. It's not like, you know, let me, you know, I mean, sure, part of
it's they're not going to sugarcoat it. That's why they're notoriously don't have good bedside manners.
True. Yeah. Yes. And now most of this is based on, or some of this is based on theory and extrapolation. Sure. But, you know, doctors are based on numbers and tangible results from even, that's why even with some of the medicines right now that are being perceived, the anti-malarial disease that or medicine that's perceived to be very good, it's such a small amount of case studies here that most doctors, while they recognize it's working, are very reticent to just give it a full green stamp of approval because they want to see a full year of studies. And I understand it. That's how they were trained. That's how you become a doctor. So I say that because he's not one to overreact. Here's what he writes me, Teek. He goes, I mean, it's bad. Real bad for New York City and North Jersey. Can't even sugarcoat it. People come in, they get intubated, they die. Repeat the next day. Young, old, sick, intubated, die. Healthy, doesn't matter. I obviously underestimated it, but China didn't tell us how contagious this thing was and the impact on our lungs. The CT scans I see are amazing. Just eats away at your lungs to deterioration point. Can't breathe and boom. I always felt that we have seen pandemics before and more deadly ones. But the problem with this, and then he reiterates a bunch of things we already know, 10 times more contagious and how they stick on the surfaces, etc. And then, you know, so I don't need to really reiterate that. You watch the news, you that was just, just basically kind of giving out some of the facts there. But then he says, and, you know, you don't really even think about this. He said, still, even if most people, you know, being, and now I paraphrase, but basically where a lot of us live. Now, you and I live in homes out, we're in the suburbs, but Teek used to live in Manhattan. I used to live in Manhattan. I know that my old complex was, let's see, first floor, second, third. I was on the fourth. I had, there were two apartments on each floor. So you're talking eight. There were probably roughly 14 to 17 people in the building. And think about all the apartment buildings in spaces where there's high concentrations of people. Even if you just go down to get your mail and you have a mask on, okay, and you have gloves on. But, you know, you touch a railing unknowingly. You get in the elevator unknowingly. You pick up a delivery. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't want to be an alarmist here, but everything that I watch, and I know you watch exactly as much as I watch,
yep.
It is getting worse.
Yeah, it is, and we haven't peaked yet. And we're talking sports, and we obviously want to provide a distraction, but we also have to be real about the realities. And so we've said this many times on our show. We'll continue to say it as long as this thing lasts. Stay at home. Be safe for yourself and for your families and for those around you, because you don't know if you have it. It's hard to be at home. It really is. It sucks.
It gets tedious.
Yep. It gets monotonous. BT joked about Groundhog Day. It'll continue to be Groundhog Day probably for another week, a few months. But here we are having to live this life to keep everybody else safe. And it's no joke, obviously. We're working from home. A lot of other people are working from home. Do your part, and hopefully this thing, clears itself out before way too long.
Yeah, well said, Teak. You know, obviously stamp that. And, you know, it's a real small concession. As much as, you know, you feel trapped, and as much as people are going stir, there's only so many TikTok videos I could watch on Instagram.
No, I've gotten tired of it now. I've gotten tired of it now. I'm like, I see the same thing over and over and over again.
Suddenly, nothing is funny on
social
media. No,
that's right.
I know.
That's
exactly right. I don't really care about your lists, like the greatest NBA duo of all time. I don't care anymore right now. I don't care about the most potent Major League Baseball lineup of all time right now. For whatever reason, I just don't care right now. And the concession that we're making, to Tiki's point about staying indoors, and yeah, it sucks. Yeah, we're trapped. Yeah, there's nowhere to go. But the concession we're making is a small one compared to those who didn't have the option of making the concession because they've already lost their lives. So that's obviously the greater point. But no doubt, listen, we're here. And you know what? We haven't really taken a lot of calls. Tiki and I have had a lot of topics. I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you. And I want to know, no matter what state you're in, we're on all over the country, 150 stations on various radio affiliates, great affiliates on TV across the country, radio.com platforms, you name it, Tiki and Tierney, we're on it. I want to hear from you, what do your days entail? What do they consist of? Are you overly optimistic right now? Or is that optimism beginning to fade into pessimism? I want to mix in some real stuff. It doesn't feel fully appropriate today, because it is trending in an even more and more dangerous direction, to just get on the air and just, you know, talk about sports topics. I don't know that we can fully do that today. There will be days when we do, for sure. But I want to know what you're doing and what's going on. Basically, kill some time, man. I want to hear some from some of you. 1-855-212-4CBS. I mean, it's tough, man. 1-855-212-4CBS. We'll weave this in as well. The NFL's goal of a full season, overly optimistic or maybe partly irresponsible? Tiki and Tierney, let's hit us up. Let's get some calls going, see what you're up to. Let's do this together. CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Tiki and Tierney's number is 1-855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Have it at home. Hard work. Get a quote. Geico.com. So we are just underway on this Wednesday around the country. A little inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. So here's a question to ponder. What do the NFL and SpongeBob SquarePants have in common? Somehow that's worked its way into inbounds, out of bounds. I'm intrigued enough. I don't even know. And we're going to have to answer it. Hopefully we figure out between now and then. Tiki and Tierney, we'll get some calls. Top of the hour. By the way, Teak, did you see this? And we'll do this at 4 Eastern. So we'll do this in about 35 minutes. But at least stick this in your back pocket, because we told you guys about the Tiger and Phil possible matchup, right? Where they're going to go up against each other again and try to find a venue with one or two camera people and respect social distancing, give us something to latch onto and cheer about. Now it looks as if Tiger and Phil are recruiting Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Oh, man.
Might be the best thing of all time.
Unless it's the worst thing of all time.
No, Brady and Peyton are both really good. Really good. Really good. I know Brady's better than Peyton. And I think Brady's scratch. I mean, he's very, if he's not scratch, he's a one. And I'm sure Peyton is in that, you know, 5 to 6 range. I can't imagine Peyton's going out there and duffing a 97.
No,
I don't think.
Quarterbacks were always generally pretty good at golf. I don't know why. Maybe it's the cerebral nature of their position, so mm-hmm. they have to think. They're more contemplative. Mm-hmm. It's less physically reactionary. Obviously, the best are hockey players because their swing is so natural, naturally like a golf swing. Baseball players as well, because their forearms are massive and they crush the ball. But hockey players are the ones that I've always seen play the best.
Yeah. They crush it.
And pitchers.
So basically everybody but us. I mean, yeah, you just named everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll do that coming up at 4 Eastern. And, you know, let's get some calls, see what you're doing on a daily basis, you know, where you are around the country, what you're doing to hang in there, you know, piece together the day. And certainly Teek and I are always, always optimistically based. I mean, when things seem dark and dire, well, you know, we're going to try to search for the light. But sometimes there's just not a lot of light, and that's the reality right now. It is pretty dark, so I'm curious where you guys are on the sporting spectrum, but more importantly, on the life spectrum. Just what are you doing every day? 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Pennsylvania first up, and Rod in Pennsylvania. What's up, Rod? How you doing today?
I'm good, BT. Teek, how you guys doing?
Hanging in, buddy. How are you doing? You want me to say great? I mean, come on. It sucks.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, to answer your question, it seems like it's getting increasingly, you know, more tense. We went to Tennessee last week to see my grandson. I called a couple weeks ago. And the contrast from Pennsylvania to the South, it's pretty dramatic. When we left PA on the 20th, it was already tense up here. Grocery stores were barren. We went down to Tennessee, and people were out as if, you know, it was normal. And then we came back to PA, and it was even worse. Mm. So, you know, I think the narrative is more pessimism than optimism right now.
Rod, let me ask you this, Rod, because New York City just took the very big step because people can't listen because they're idiots. They closed down public parks because there was just too many people congregating. What has been, you know, the steps taken in Pennsylvania, and specifically, where are you in East Stroudsburg? Where are you in PA?
I'm actually outside of Reading, right on the Schuylkill County, Berks County line.
I know you are. Okay, I know where you are. So not too far from Reading. They used to have all the outlets. Do they still have the outlets in Reading or no?
No. Okay. No, they closed many years ago, late 90s, early 2000s.
I know the point of reference. So you're near Reading. I mean, are people still, you know, going to the playgrounds, going to shoot hoops, still congregating in large numbers? Is that still happening?
No. You see people playing, you know, in their neighborhoods, people walking, you know, kids out here and there.
Sure.
But, you know, publicly, really the only thing that's open anymore are grocery stores and restaurants that provide takeout.
And gas stations.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right, man. Rod, appreciate you, buddy. You check in any day, man. Any day you get a little bored, any day you get a little antsy, you pick up the phone, you call your boys. We're here for you. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Teek, let's go to Florida. We've got Andrew. Andrew is down in Florida. Andrew's on Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Andrew, how you doing? Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure, man. Appreciate you guys. Listen to you pretty much every day outside of the conference call or two where I have to mute you guys out. But I really appreciate what you're doing. And Teeky, I grew up watching you, man. I'm 46 years old, and just a pleasure to listen to you guys and Tierney, you're a pro, man. Don't let him tell you otherwise.
He knows.
He's a pro at doing this. He ain't a pro on the field or anything like that.
Understood. And he gave it a shot. He got up there and swung the bat. So we'll give him
that. True. The problem is, he would classify, if you've listened to us long enough, you've heard me say this many times. BT, unfortunately, is a bad sell guy.
Yeah, I think I've got to update that. I'd have to say worse sell guys. We're way beyond bad sell guys.
That's true. How are things down there in Florida? Man. Hey, Andrew, how are things down in Florida? Because I just saw something on the news that finally the stay-at-home order got executed down there. You know, has it gotten worse in recent days? Is that why that had to happen?
Well, I think that everybody's taking things a little bit more to heart right now. I mean, as soon as they show those fools on the Clearwater Beach spring break and talking about, you know, I'm not going to get it, I'm here to party. I think that pretty much set the governor off to shut down the beaches, which was a good thing. There is a lot of social distancing. I did have to go to Publix a little while earlier to pick up my first 12-pack of toilet paper in 2 weeks at the clip of $18.35.
Wow.
Which is pretty expensive down here, I guess, for that.
But, I'm sure it's – at least I hope it's double ply. I mean, you can at least
– It is some Charmin, so I'll just go with the commercial, what they say.
Uh-huh.
But we're just watching a lot of what's going on up there in your guys' neck of the woods, and really concerned because I think people are starting to get it down here, unless, you know, the cruise ships coming in off they want to come into the Fort Lauderdale area. That's a concern, I think, of everybody in that area, as well as the governor. And who in the hell gets on a cruise ship 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I agree with you.
I'll give you the answer. And thanks for the call, Andrew. And, you know, not that I condone this, but I can't understand it on some level. Probably opportunists who saw prices plummet and maybe they can't ordinarily afford it. And they said, I'm going to go on a cruise.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, I'm not saying it's right.
But doesn't it almost feel irresponsible on
yes,
the cruise lines?
Of course.
Standpoint?
Yeah.
Yeah, to promote it and to, yeah, you get a great deal, you know, get on a cruise. Because they becomes, I mean, it's what's the one, where am I thinking of it? It's in Peru, I believe, or it was trying to dock in Peru. They denied them, and a lot of these South American countries have denied
yep.
them portage, so they've had to flip around. And now, I think that's what Andrew was alluding to, a lot of these ships are trying to dock in Florida, because no one else will accept them. No other country will accept them right now.
Nor should they.
I mean, I agree, but... Still, I mean, as much as I can understand a individual or a couple saying, yeah, this is a good deal, you got to have seen what was going on. And more importantly, the cruise lines should have known better than to, you know, do this. I know a lot of them have already shut down the majority of their ships, talking about cruise industry, and that industry is going to get bludgeoned.
Oh, jeez.
Because yeah. so much of the news stories have been about them, whether it was the one over in Japan or the myriad ones that we're seeing now that have you know, hit the headlines of the news. Still, I mean, you feel for them, especially if they feel, you know, trapped on board right now.
Teak, I know that, you know, we see this, and I know most people are news savvy, and I get it. But if you haven't seen the imagery of temporary hospitals being set up in Central Park, which is generally usually a bastion for, you know, inline skating and running and frolicking and everything good about nature. It is now a temporary hospital, Central Park. I mean, I don't know what else needs to be said. I mean, if you really think about it in those terms, where we are, and I don't think that, I know that there's pockets of isolations and hotspots and the terminology. Yeah, I hope that there are. I hope as many states as humanly possible get spared from this really, you know, blowing out of proportion where it becomes overwhelming. But I don't see how any state escapes serious damage. I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy. I mean, some will, like Montana, maybe, because it's, you know, there's just not a heavy population. There's not a ton of people. I remember when I was out there fly fishing, you told that story from years ago, BT. I mean, God, it probably had to be 13 years ago now, because maybe it was a little bit less than that, maybe 10 years ago. They were telling us, yeah, there's so few people here that if you wanted to put equidistant every person in the state, you'd have like 30 feet around you before you'd be close to anyone else, because how few people there. So places like that, the isolated parts of this country, maybe they won't experience it as bad. But there's so many densely populated cities, even in smaller states or less populated states, that this is likely to come to. And once it does, it just takes off.
Yeah, yeah. Then you just have to ride it through, which is what we're doing.
Yep.
I just saw this on TV, by the way, Teak. Obviously, Wimbledon canceled outright, first time since World War II. The mid-June London series canceled as well. Major League Baseball canceled. So that's not happening. And that's a smart move. I mean, because, you know, people... I mean, I don't really need to explain that. Just logistically, it would be impossible to work under the assumption that, hey, we're going to get it solved by then, when there's detailed travel plans that need to be coordinated. So cancel it, have them play stateside whenever stateside is able to play. But I wanted to pass that along. Just cancel. Interesting. All right, coming up. So I teased you before about this. The NFL SpongeBob SquarePants. What the hell do they have in common? We'll find out next. Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki and Tierney back here on this Wednesday, CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, everybody? Hopefully you are doing well. It is time to ask the pros here. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros, and then make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. So challenge us, make us think, and good chance we'll circle back to it. Give you a little props on the air in the meantime. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Coming up top of the hour, Tiger and Phil, perhaps. Tiger and Phil plus Brady and Peyton Manning. Wow. Maybe. Also, next hour, Yetur Gross-Matos will join us. Penn State, defensive stud, defensive end. We'll get him coming up on the show. We've already had a bunch of prominent draft or expected to be prominently drafted players on the show. And we'll continue rolling with that. But right now, it's time to roll a little inbounds, out of bounds. Teke, you good?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so the NFL owners officially approved the 14-game playoff schedule, and that will get the top seed a first-round bye, while the other six teams battle it out in the wild card round. One caveat, though, is that while the extra two wildcard games will be broadcast on regular network TV, the CBS game will also be simulcast on Nickelodeon. What? With a completely different broadcast crew and format geared for a younger audience. In or out, the NFL creating a completely separate broadcast for younger fans is a smart idea.
I'm going to say inbounds of this, PT, because if you don't like it, you don't want to watch it, or you think it's corny, just don't watch it. It's not, you know, you watch it someplace else. But younger fans interact with sports in a different way. I'll tell you, BT, when I went to the Super Bowl in 2000, the year we lost to the Baltimore Ravens, I remember being engaged by a kid from Nickelodeon who was doing interviews. He was down there in the media scrum. His name was Pick Boy.
You remember his name?
It wasn't his real name. I don't know what his real name was. His real name was. But he was Pick Boy, was his name. And he had like a cape and he was like a superhero.
Okay.
And he asked some of these corny questions, but it was interesting and engaging. And I can't tell you the feedback that people told me about that had kids. They're like, oh, I saw your interview with Pick Boy. It was so cool.
Let me see what this guy looks like. Keep going.
So it was just interesting how it crossed over. I was more thinking about, man, there's like Japanese media here at the Super Bowl, because it was my first experience, obviously, there. I was like, man, people are, you know, from all over every corner of the world care about this game. And here's this kid who worked for Nickelodeon, interestingly and coincidentally enough, Pick Boy, who was asking me questions. And it was a big hit. So I actually love this idea. Inbounds.
He's got, I'm looking at him, he's got like a mostly base black outfit with with neon green trunks, and he's got the Robin mask on.
Yep, that's exactly him.
Oh, my God. When I first saw this, you know, I really thought this was, quite frankly, one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. When I first saw this, because I got it a little twisted, I'm sitting there saying, wait a second. So one of the wild card fan bases is going to be subjected to thinking that it was not going to be simulcast, but it was solely on Nickelodeon. You know, with the double dare slime element when there's a first down, slime dropping into the broadcast booth. What the hell is this? And then I said, oh, okay, this is actually just for kids. And if you don't want to watch it, as Tiki said, great. And if you want to watch the standard CBS broadcast, then that's what you do. I think it's a great idea. I really do. You know, I'm sitting there saying, wait, how are they going to deliver this before I was fully informed? Like, this is called a pylon. This is the circumference of a football. What, me being like the last wild card team, the Jets, to squeeze in, that would be the broadcast I'd be stuck with. I'm thinking that there would be no option for CBS as well. I think it's awesome. And I'll tell you something else. I think baseball should find a way to incorporate this, not during the playoffs, but maybe on a Saturday, you know, kind of, you know, because it really, in terms of the instructional element, baseball, the pace of the game is perfect to weave in real instruction geared towards younger fans. I think it's good. I think it's smart. I think it's forward-thinking. I like it. Inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teke, let's get to your Giants. The Giants will have a new head coach at the helm with Joe Judge taking the reins. Many thought GM Dave Gettleman, I was one of them, maybe should have been replaced. But Gettleman was given another shot, a reprieve, probably a last one here. Now we find out, based on Jake Glazer reporting, quote, Gettleman has 1 year to turn the team around, saying, quote, he made a case to ownership to come back. He presented a plan for now. He'll turn it around in a year. That needs to happen. If it doesn't happen, he'll be gone, and rightfully so. End quote. In or out, Gettleman's job would be safe if the team finishes, say, 8-8 or better?
Well, this is a hard one, BT. I'm going to say inbounds, simply because I think that's progress from last year. But generally, when you're brought on as general manager and you hire your own coach, as he did with Pat Shurmur, and tries to build a team around him and with him, even though we knew it was somewhat of a rebuilding year because of the draft of Daniel Jones to replace the legendary and Eli Manning. And that guy doesn't work out after two seasons, you usually go out the door with him. So bringing in Joe Judge has been, I think, the best thing they could have done, because it was a non-established coach, meaning not someone who had already failed or had had success. There was no expectation. There is no expectation for Joe Judge. I think he's built a really good staff so far, and I'm sure Coach or Dave Gettleman's had a big part of this with Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator, and Patrick Graham, who was previous with the Dolphins as the defensive coordinator, and then bringing in some of these free agents as well, I think will be a boon for them. So I'm going to say inbounds, but it better be like a convincing 8-8, not like a tepid 8-8.
I'm going to say inbounds with a caveat as well. Well, it's time for Dave Gettleman to get going here. I mean, everybody knows this, that lives in New York or is a Giants fan. He's done nothing. I mean, he's 5-11, 4-12, and you need to start showing some real tangible progress here. Now, in his defense, Jerry Reese, there were holes all over the roster. All over the roster. Jerry Reese just basically stopped drafting.
Jerry did a great job with his first draft, maybe his first two.
Correct.
And then the rest were, none of them got a second contract. Most
that's
of them
exactly
didn't last past 3 years.
Yep. No, I'm sorry. That's where I was going. It was failed pick after failed pick, reach after failed pick, reach after bust. So Gettleman had a lot of holes to patch up. The caveat is this, though. So if the team finishes 8-8, the assurance that he'll be back, I wouldn't grant it unless it's an 8-8 where the primary components on the roster are obviously getting better and trending in the direction necessary for 8-8 to eventually become, as the Giants want, 11-5, 12-4, vie for divisional titles, vie for Super Bowls again. If it's 8-8 and the veterans play well, but the guys they draft this year bomb, or the guys they draft last year regress, or Daniel Jones has a bad... and I like Jones, but you need to have the players that really represent your future play well. And if that happens and they're 8-8, I can live with that. But if not, he's got to go.
Are you in or are you out?
Let's get to the SEC West, which, as we know, is all stacked always, boasting teams like Bama, Auburn, national title champion, or national champion LSU. Add that Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. And two big-name new faces in Mississippi, with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss and Mike Leach at Mississippi. He's going to be a trip in that conference, boy. He's going to piss a lot of people off. His presses, thought his press conferences were fun when he was at Washington State? Wait now. When everybody's watching, wait. Now Leach is making his presence felt already, landing coveted four-star quarterback recruit Sawyer Robertson. Just sounds like a quarterback. Sawyer Robertson back to pass. Touchdown, Sawyer Robertson. I like that name. He's out of Texas. That doesn't hurt either. A top 50 overall player in the 2021 class. So he reeled in a big fish already. Mike Leach is a top 5 coach in the SEC right now.
I can't say inbounds to that. I'm going to say out of bounds, but I do think that he will evolve into one, because it's a different animal to recruit in the SEC. In order to elevate somebody to a top-end head coach in the SEC, you have to start bringing in stud talent. Now, he does have this one kid, as you were just talking about, Sawyer Robertson out of Texas, who he landed from all those other Texas schools. He might have been recruiting him already before he got to Mississippi. So that's a big win, but he's got to do that more consistently. And then, I guess more importantly, you got to beat some of these good teams, right? You got to beat LSU. You got to beat Alabama. You got to beat Auburn. I'm not saying do it consistently, but you got to win those games before you can say he's better than any of those coaches.
I think he's just outside of the top five. It's a tough one for me. I mean, there's so many great coaches. I mean, you didn't even mention Kirby Smart, Georgia.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
come on. Obviously, Eddie O's terrific. At least, 25-3. Since he showed up, he's beaten a bunch of top five teams. Dan Mullen starting to get Florida pointed in the right direction. You have to mention him. I would say Mike Leach is probably six. You know, then you start getting to like the Mark Stoops territory and the Gus Malzahns. And I have Mike Leach way at least two or three spots ahead of Lane Kiffin personally. Definitely ahead of Jeremy Pruitt of Tennessee.
Yep.
You know, Will Muschamp in South Carolina, whatever, does nothing for me. Not yet. Not top five. I would say this. If you gave every coach in the SEC the same exact roster, okay, do I think that Mike Leach would squeeze more out of it than four other guys? I do.
That's fair.
I really do.
And I agree with you, dude.
So
I
if I want to answer,
agree with you.
You know what I mean? So if I'm going to answer it literally, is he among the top five coaches? Well, you have to strip away what you bring up, the notion of recruiting, which elevates somebody as a coach. Let's face it. Just in terms of pure X's and O's and a real innovative mind, I believe he's top five, but he's got to prove it in the best conference in football. So I'll say just outside the top five.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You know, Derek Mason's got a ton of pressure at Vanderbilt. Our buddy Eli Drinkwitz, who's at Missouri now, we had him on the show, possibly get big things out of him. Who's that? Sam, I think Sam Pittman's coach at Arkansas. I mean, that's just a monster of a mountain to try to scale. I think Mike Leach's going to do a really good job. And once he starts getting his hooks on these skill position kids from big, big places, now that he's got a big backyard to mess around in, I think they're going to win a lot of games, man. I like him.
Yeah, it's hard not to see him because he is so innovative offensively. So they're going to score. And if you can score, then you can win.
Tiger and Phil, hey, why not? Tom Brady and Peyton, throw them in the mix as well. Hour two coming up. Tiki and Tierney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.